verses 1 through 16. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, Call the laborers, and give them unto their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I did thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. As a setting for the parable of the laborers, we should note several things. Our Lord was near the end of his ministry. He had just given the requirements of entering into the kingdom to the rich young ruler. Sell all that thou hast and follow me. Peter, as a spokesman for the others, had in mind a kind of spiritual covetousness which clutched at a promised reward. And in a tone of self-righteousness, he reminded Jesus of the sacrifices that he had already made. He reminded our Lord how he had left everything in order to follow the Lord. It was thus that Peter asked him the question in verse 27 of the preceding chapter. Chapter 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? To this our Lord replied, verses 28 and 29, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Jesus was impressing fully upon the apostles that the kingdom of heaven was not a matter of mercenary calculation or an exact equivalent, and that there could be no bargaining with the heavenly householder in this respect. In effect, Peter was implying in his remarks that, in what respect then shall he be the gainer? And Jesus' answer to him was both an encouragement as well as a solemn warning. For he encouraged Peter to continue to sacrifice all, with the assurance that in due time he would be rewarded, but in a way in which he at this time could not understand. The apostles had these thoughts fixed in their minds that Jesus had promised them some kind of a share in a kingdom, and supposing that that kingdom was eminent. And seeing the Spirit among them, the Lord proceeded to give them the parable of the workers in the vineyard. The lesson of the parable was particularly applicable to them, but in addition applies to all of the Lord's followers throughout the age, and its lessons are especially useful in our day. In the parable itself, a householder goes out with the break of morning to the marketplace in order to hire laborers for his vineyard. And that the householder went out himself and had not sent out a steward or a servant as was customary shows two things. The much work that had to be accomplished and the anxiety of the householder to have it done. We find that the householder bargains with the first hour workers, and they agree on the wages. The wages would be a penny a day, a denarius. A denarius was the amount, a generous amount of wages for one day's labor. And it was the equivalent of a comfortable day's living. This is an important point. Having agreed on the wages, the householder sends his first group into the vineyard. At the third hour, evidently perceiving that the first hour workers could not possibly complete the work in that one day, he returns once more to the marketplace, and he finds others standing idle. He directs them likewise into his vineyard. This time, no definite promise as to their pay is made. The account says, whatsoever is right will I give thee. It would appear from the account that in none of the instances, whether it be in the third, the sixth, ninth, or the 11th hour workers, that it was the fault of the laborers that they were not hired at an earlier time than indicated. And they had in no sense been unwilling or had refused any earlier calls, for as soon as they were called, they went into the vineyard. Up to this place in the parable, there are four things which stand out clearly. The abundance of work that had to be done, and the anxiety of the householder to secure the available workers. And in the circumstances regarding the workers, that they were not unwilling or had refused on any previous call. But for some reason, they did not receive the call. But when they did, they were ready and willing to go in and labor for the householder. And last, regarding the wages, only the first hour workers had bargained for a definite amount. The others had no definite promise of a reward. But they went to serve simply trusting in the goodness and the reputation of the householder. This brings us to the 11th hour workers. Evidently, the work in the vineyard had to be completed in that day. It could not wait until tomorrow. The sense of urgency now heightens. It now becomes expedient that the householder complete the work before darkness falls. The four groups of workers which had been brought in previously were still not enough. They were still not sufficient to complete the work at hand. The householder now re-enters the marketplace for the fifth time that day. And he finds others standing idle. And he questions them, "Why stand ye here idle?" And their answer, "Because no man hath hired us." But he directs this last group into the vineyard to work with the others, to work with those who had borne the heat and the sweat of the day. There's only one difference between the 11th hour workers and the others. According to the account, the first hour workers had been promised a penny. The third, sixth, and ninth hour workers had been promised, "Whatsoever is right, I will give thee." But to the 11th hour workers, there was nothing promised. The statement in the seventh verse, "That which is whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive," is spurious. It's not found in the original manuscripts. It appears that in proportion to the lateness of their work, there was felt the absence of any claim on the part of the laborers, and hence of their complete reliance on their employer. It is now evening. The work is completed. The time has come for the householder to settle with the workers. According to the law, they had to be paid at the end of the day. Leviticus 19:13. "The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning." But the householder does not pay them. He directs his steward to do so. But here a surprise awaits the workers. The order of payment is the reverse of that of the labor. The first are the last to be paid, and the first are the last. This reverse of paying seems to be a necessary part of the parable. For if the first workers had been paid, they would have gone their way. And they would have not been around when the steward came to the 11th hour laborers. They would have not known what the others had been paid, and would have assume that since they had worked the longest, the rest would have been paid something less in proportion to their labors, and they would not have voiced an objection. But seeing that the others had been paid a penny, when the steward reached them, they expected that he would give them something more. But they likewise received only a penny. And hence the murmuring, as if an injustice had been done to them. It would appear that truth and fairness was on their side. For by selecting the two extremes, the case of the 11th hour workers and the first, those who had borne the burden and the heat of the day, had not the householder made them who had wrought only 1 hour equal to them? Yet however fair their reasoning might seem, they had no claim upon the householder, for they had bargained in that first hour in the dawning of that day. They had bargained for the stipulated wages of one penny. Now we have the ingredients of the parable. Five groups of workers, all willing. A promise of a definite reward to the first. A promise of some reward to the next three groups. But no promise to the last. And then they are paid off in the reverse order from that which where they were hired. Each received the same remuneration. And this fact observed by the first hour workers causes them to complain and grumble in dissatisfaction. This now completes the setting of the parable. One of the most obvious of interpretations of this parable is that it is the Lord's answer to Peter's question of Matthew 19:27. "What shall we have, therefore?" But we believe that there is a much deeper and significant meaning of this parable than our Lord's use of it to reprimand Peter and the others. Accordingly, there are several interpretations suggested in the volumes and in the reprints, four to be specific. One interpretation would place the entire parable in the Gospel age. It is obvious that whatever interpretation that we give to this parable, that the laborers are the faithful children of God, who during the day of the parable are devoting their time and their energies in the service of the Lord, the householder of the parable. And since only the faithful are represented by the laborers, and they all receive the same reward, the penny. The penny would seem to represent some sort of kingdom honors. The early church had an exact and clear understanding of the wages, what the wages would be. But as the church began to fall into error, the promise of the kingdom, so clearly understood at the beginning, was lost sight of by the subsequent third, sixth, and ninth hour workers. And the fact that the 11th hour workers were promised nothing would represent those coming into these vineyards after the crowns had been apportioned, after the general call had ceased in the harvest of the gospel age. But there are difficulties in using this interpretation. The most obvious difficulty is that it would be inconceivable that the faithful early church would murmur or complain. For these, we read it in the writings of the Revelator. Revelation 2, 2 and 3. I know thy works. This is speaking of the church of Ephesus. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. So we find that there are problems when we attempt to find a solution to this parable that would fit all of the experiences of the church as a whole during the gospel age. In another interpretation, we find the parable being applied to the life of individual Christians. The first hour workers would be one who had been called to serve in the vineyard at an early age, and one who had served the householder during their entire lifetime. It would be a life of full and complete service. The others coming in would represent those who were called in later years, or perhaps it would be those who, because of their available time and talents, could only devote a small portion of it to the Lord's service. And the later ones would be the 11th hour workers. We still would have difficulty here, for if all the workers received the same reward, regardless of the length of time spent in the vineyard, we still would be unable to explain the murmuring of the ones who were first hired. We know that the Lord will not have anyone in his kingdom who would be of the spirit of murmuring or complaining. And we may feel assured that any who receive the master's well done and receive the change to the spiritual nature will be far from murmuring. We know that these will rejoice and be glad and feel more than rewarded for every service and sacrifice which they have rendered. So let us set this interpretation aside as well. Some apply this parable to the Jews and the Gentiles of the early church. The first hour workers are pointed out as being the Jews. The penny in this case would be the privilege of discipleship. When the gospel went out to the Gentiles, many of the Jews complained and murmured. Thus our Lord's phrase, "The first shall be last, and the last first." The Jews, having the first opportunity of becoming of the heavenly seed class, forfeited this opportunity because of unbelief. Some Jews made the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles a pretense why they should reject it. Thus they would be the sole objects of divine sanction. And the scriptures relate how some of them murmured when the Gentiles were made partakers of the kingdom honors. Acts 11, 1 to 3, Acts 15, 1 to 2. With this interpretation, we find it difficult to apply the reward of the penny equally to all groups, for it is obvious that these complaining Jews would not receive the same reward as would the faithful 11th-hour workers. So we must set aside this interpretation as well. Another interpretation that is suggested is that we could place the entire parable into the gospel age harvest. The workers who entered at the first hour would represent those prior to 1881, when the general call ceased. And a promise to them was sure, a penny, for the high calling was still open. Those of the third, sixth, and ninth hours could not be promised any specific amount of wages, for the general call ceased at that time. The crowns had all been apportioned. But the Lord knew, through his overruling providences, that there would be a falling away of some from the prize. So accordingly, he promised to these workers that whatever is right. The 11th-hour workers, these then would represent those who enter into the work, into the vineyard, at the very threshold of the kingdom. They enter in near the very end of the harvest. To these, nothing could be promised. They enter into the vineyard trusting in the Lord that he will do whatsoever is right, as he promised the others. With this interpretation of the parable, we find many details which fit. The goodman, or the householder, in verse 11, in Jewish time, was the eldest son of the house. This would fittingly represent our Lord as God's only begotten son, our elder brother. And he arose early in the morning, for as the dawn broke. So our Lord returned at the dawn of the millennial day, just as his beams were breaking upon the world, just as the first beams of light began to shine. He began calling his faithful ones into the vineyard in order to complete the work of the age. And there is a certain urgency here that the work now must be completed. It must be accomplished before the night time of trouble. Behold, I come quickly. Revelation 3:11. It was similar to the urgency which we noted in the harvest of the Jewish age, when the Lord, after he was baptized and received the Holy Spirit, he began to realize the shortness of the time. He realized this according to the prophecy of the 70 weeks. And he realized that he would be cut off in the middle of that last week. This meant he would only have 3.5 short years to accomplish his mission. And note these words of urgency. John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And again in Matthew 9:37-38 we read, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the vineyard. The work is great here in the harvest of the gospel age, just as it was in the Jewish harvest. By great, we don't understand that the amount of ripe wheat is numerous. On the contrary, it is few and mixed with many tares. By great is meant the difficulties and the oppositions which would be encountered to reach these few grains of ripe wheat. And just as in the Jewish harvest, the laborers are few, so few that it required the householder to repeatedly enter the marketplace in order to find additional laborers. Our Lord, during the first Advent, when he sent his few disciples into the vineyard, didn't expect that they would gather in all of Israel, for he knew that the great majority of the Israelites were consecrated to self and to selfishness. They were consecrated to sex and to party and not to the truth. So with the householder in this harvest, he likewise does not expect us to reach and convert all of Christendom, but only the faithful few, the ones who have a hearing ear, the ones who have a right heart, those who hear the call and enter themselves into the vineyard. There are many general lessons of the parable, regardless of what interpretation appeals to us. And these general lessons are those of humbleness, contentness, and appreciation. Humble and not begrudging the fact that the Lord has graciously permitted others to walk beside us. Content with the rewards to come. And appreciative of the fact that whatsoever God has to offer as a gift is a gift. And that we should enter into his service with loyalty to the principles of righteousness and justice. If one has been in the way many years, that privilege should be esteemed. We should be glad to see others enter into the vineyard to carry on the work, and that others will receive the same reward which we hope to receive. The lesson of the parable teaches that it is not the length of service that is important, but it is the quality of the work. For the Lord's vineyard requires laborers and not loiterers. As laborers, we must ever remember that motive gives character to service, and that acceptable service is determined not by the duration, but by the spirit in which we participate. At the close of the day, we noted that those hired first were the ones who murmured. And here lies one of the basic difficulties of accepting any interpretation of this parable. For it is difficult to suppose that any who would become worthy to have a share in the kingdom would murmur against the householder, would murmur against the Lord. The reward is to be expected at the close of the day, and the murmur is described there as well. Since the parable is based upon everyday events or examples which were commonplace and understood by all, it was mandatory, according to the law, to pay the laborers their hire after the working day. It could not be postponed till tomorrow. And this is the way the parable had to be stated, that the payment was made at the close of the day, and hence the accompanying incident of murmuring and complaining. But we feel in actuality that the murmurings could occur at any time, and it could be by any of the other workers, including the 11th hour ones. There are many ways in which one could grumble and complain. There are some who murmur that they do not receive a sufficient amount of honor or distinction or attention, and thus show by their actions that they are not suited for the full kingdom honors as members of the church in glory. This is shown in the parable when the householder tells the spokesman for the first hour workers to go thy way. This doesn't necessarily mean to go out of the truth or into the second death, but would indicate an honor or reward lesser than that of the faithful workers who did not murmur, who do not grumble or complain. And here, perhaps, is an indication or illustration of two spiritual classes. The parable teaches that it is not the householder who is inferior to those who labor throughout the day of the parable, but teaches that the householder has been generous to the latecomers so that they could receive a livable wage. For anything less would have been below the subsistence level required for a day. So we should not pharisaically begrudge God's generosity and graciousness to others. For all of us are undeserving latecomers. The deserving earlycomers exist only in the parable. Another lesson of the parable, a most important one, is in regards to the 11th hour workers. You may recall that in our interpretation based on the parable applying to the harvest, we mentioned that the 11th hour workers are called at the threshold of the kingdom. The time is short. This would indicate that the door to the high calling is still open, that there is still opportunity for laboring in the vineyard, that there is still time to enter in and taste of the joys and blessings of working together with others of like precious faith as laborers in the Lord's vineyard. Some may inquire, how can we be sure that the door is still open? But if you look about you, you'll find many evidences. Many new ones are symbolizing their consecration unto the Lord, thus entering into the vineyard. In the parable, no one entered the vineyard unless they were hired. And these show every evidence of having been gotten of the Holy Spirit. Being more specific, we see them growing and developing in all of the various graces and fruits of the Spirit as required of sons. And we see them receiving an accurate knowledge of the truth and the ability to grasp the deeper things. And we see them showing the desire to seek out the strong meat. And as their Christian walk progresses, we see them walking more by faith and not by sight. And we see them coming into a closer fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Although there was nothing promised to the 11th hour workers, we, as we pointed out earlier, we know that we can rely on the character of the householder. We can place our trust fully in him. We can have our implicit confidence in our Lord. For the lesson of the parable teaches that he will reward his own abundantly. The 11th hour workers, having labored for only 1 hour, still receive the full wages, the full reward, the penny. Let us take up the subject of the penny. This is perhaps another important ingredient of the parable. That the 11th hour workers received the penny, and they had worked the least, immediately attracted the attention of the listeners. It evidently was a feature of the parable, which drew attention prominently to the fact that the same payment or reward was given to all. What do we know about this penny? We know that it was a reward. We know that each of the workers received it, regardless of the length of service that they had served. And we know that it was paid at the end of the day, after the work in the vineyard had been completed, and was paid by the steward. From this interpretation, it would seem that the penny would represent the reward of the spiritual nature, without the additional features of glory, honor, and immortality. This would be given to all of the faithful spirit begotten, represented by the workers in the vineyard. The more than overcomers, the workers of the parable who did not murmur, would be the ones who would receive the greater reward, that of being of the church, being with the Lord in glory. The language of the parable, the language of the Lord, has been applicable throughout the age. Go ye also into the vineyard. But it appears to be especially applicable now. For an illustration of the harvest of the fruit of the vine indicates a period of culmination, a period of ending. The church is God's vineyard. Let us continue to labor and to be thankful for the opportunity of being co-workers on this side of the veil. For there is such a variety of work to be done. Though our physical bodies may be weak, though we may grow weary at times, let us continue with renewed energy, continually thinking in our hearts a warming zeal and the conviction that the time for service is short, that we are even now in the 11th hour. Let us join in the work Let it join in the householder's sense of urgency and bend every fiber of our being in our efforts to complete the work in the Master's vineyard. Let us resolve to show him our true love and our appreciation for the privilege of being such a co-laborer. Let us not fail to appreciate the Lord's generosity. We must say to ourselves, both individually and collectively, that we must work the works of him that sent us, of him who has commissioned us while it is still light, while we still have the light of the sun upon us, and before the nighttime of trouble comes where no man can work, when our opportunity for serving the causes of the truth and for serving the brethren and for the dissemination of the truth to the public will be forced to be closed, and this time is rapidly drawing upon us. What a lesson in this parable for the Lord's covenant of people to serve him first, to serve him chiefly, and to serve him faithfully. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward, and may the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Trezina. We appreciate that. Now, brethren, I would like to explain a little bit about the arrangements that we have for our meals and for the remaining portions of the convention. This afternoon, we will return to meet in this lower level room.